I'm Sean from The Current, and we're doing a series called Music to Watch. And this is something where we're going to chat with some folks who have a lot of input into what happens in the world of late night music on television and also are really engaged with it personally. So Kateri Palin is the music segment producer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and Brian Stack is a writer on the same show. First off, before any sort of conversation, thank you for sharing some of your time. I know you guys have incredibly busy schedules, so to take some time out to sort of give us a heads up about what you're thinking about means the world to us, so thank you.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. it's great to be here, and appreciate your interest in the stuff. And Kateri knows so much more about the music here at the show than I do, but I am a huge music fan, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it sounds like what we do on the station connects a lot with what you listen to personally. I know you're a huge Replacements fan and an REM fan, and so looking to tap your brain for some of that insight as well.
And Kateri's from the Twin Cities, and I love The Current, too. I'm not from there. My sister lived there for a while, and I love the Twin Cities, but Kateri's actually a native.
Yes, born and raised.
Where in particular in the Twin Cities?
17th and DuPont, so kind of around the Kenwood area in between uptown and downtown.
Very cool.
Went to De La Salle.
Okay. Oh, are you guys called Islanders? Is that the correct term?
Yeah, some people call us river rats, but, you know.
I'll go with the more polite Islanders. I imagine that cool stuff happens for you guys every day. You have different incredible artists and incredible celebrities walking through. Are there any dates coming up that you have circled three times on your calendar? Like, I can't wait till this person shows up. This is going to be so great.
We had David Byrne on Friday, and he is one of my favorite musicians, so that was really exciting for me.
Yeah, it was exciting having him here, and I heard a lot of people see him riding his bike around downtown, so he's like one of those guys people in New York always hope to spot on his bicycle. He's always riding around town.
It seems like this record is a big deal for David Byrne, even in a career of big records. How did you feel about his performance?
It was amazing. Like, he is always coming with super creative ideas, and some things that it's kind of old school, because like sometimes we'll have newer acts in here who want to create environments and huge spaces, but he does a lot with movement and people and gestures, and so that is really nice and amazing, and you can have a really cool performance just with that instead of, you know, doing tons of like lighting or props or tricks like that.
So that was really exciting having him here. Yeah,
and super nice person. Like, you know, that's always a big plus.
Yeah, I didn't meet him, but Terry meets everybody, which is really cool. I'm jealous.
Sometimes Ryan comes down.
Yeah, I've come down a few times, like when Tommy Stinson was on with Bash and Pop, and
a few other times,
or when Bob Mould was on, got to go down and say hi to those guys.
Kateri, do you deal with a lot of other folks from the staff coming down and like pouring their coffee every 10 seconds in hopes of meeting some of the people? Where you're like, okay, Brian, it's time to go back to the writer's room situation.
Never. No, it's always great when people are excited about a band. So, you know, our studio and office are like, you know, they're right next to each other, but you have to travel a little bit. So it's not too out of control. So it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
What's the biggest rush you've had so far of confirming somebody and you go, I can't wait till this person comes into the building and I get to see what he or she does?
One of my personal, and you probably have some too, but one of my favorite bookings that I kind of saw all the way through was Chance the Rapper. We did this like incredible set for him, and you know, kind of last minute he ended up coming with an original song, which was amazing. But you know, obviously a lot of work on everyone's part, but that was pretty incredible. And that, you know, of course got a lot of pickup, which is always great. Mm-hmm. And him and Steven have this amazing connection, so that was a good one.
He even did like a little silly comedy bit rap for us when Steven hosted the Emmys, and they've got a nice rapport together and seem to like each other a lot.
That's spectacular. Do you ever have to push artists where maybe some of the other leadership doesn't see the connection as much? Where, Kateri, do you ever have to go to bat where you're going, this artist belongs on the show, and some of the other folks are going, I don't know if they have the metrics to belong on this show?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure that happens a lot. Yeah.
Understood. Now, one artist that you got coming up that I'm really looking forward to seeing on your show is Brandi Carlile, an artist who's really near and dear to the Currents' heart. She's one of those artists. We have a couple of those folks. Soul Coughing also lands on this list, where Minneapolis is sort of an oversized market for them, and they really come here a lot. So how do you schedule an artist like Brandi Carlile, and like sort of what are you expecting from Brandi Carlile being on the show?
Well, she's just a fantastic musician, so it's like anything she does is pure gold, and we're so happy to have her. And she's just got this incredible voice, and the way she like communicates through music is beautiful. And I don't know, she's one of our favorites. I think I saw her at Outside Lands a few years ago, and I was just blown away. And I think that was actually the first time I had seen her live, which is crazy. But she's just unbelievable. So she can't make a wrong move.
Yeah, she's one of those people that I know would be just as powerful, you know, in an age long before her auto-tune and everything. I mean, she's just one of those people who is what she is, like Nico Case, you know, where it's just all really there. And you see it in live performance. What you see is what you get, and it's always real and powerful and soulful, and you can't go wrong with that. I love that new song, The Joke, that you put out.
Yeah, really great.
They play that all the time. And
yeah,
it's a great one.
That is something I cherish about late night TV performances, is I do feel like it is one of the few really sort of honest moments we get to see in a lot of artists' career, where there isn't too much auto-tune to hide behind. They can't warm up for 40 minutes before stepping out. It's really like, can you step up on stage and deliver it? And at times you go, oh, they can't. It turns out that they need all that trickery. And I do feel like The Late Show with Stephen Colbert kind of inherited a little bit of that mantle from David Letterman, of feeling like you want to have a lot of musical integrity. Is that a lot of pressure to live up to think of sort of being the preeminent music chooser for this situation?
I don't know. I think that, like, we obviously were, you know, we love David Letterman and all he did with music, and I think that that's amazing, but, you know, we think of ourselves as a completely separate entity, even though we have the same history of the theater, which is amazing. The theater has hosted so many amazing artists. So, of course, you feel like you want to have quality, great music on. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, of course there's pressure, but I think any TV show who's booking music feels pressure to get the best artists. And
it's true, too, like, when you raise the point about, like, just what a privilege it is to watch people just perform. There's no artifice to it. They're just performing, and you're seeing exactly what they're playing and singing. Like when Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile were on, that was one of my favorite performances of this last year, and they were nice enough to do a little acoustic thing in the dressing room too, so that's as real as it gets. It's just intimate, and they did Continental Breakfast, which is one of my favorite songs theirs, and then they did Over Everything live on the show, so those are my two favorite songs on the album. And
that was Brian's idea. So Brian sometimes comes with these great ideas, and I'm like, oh yeah, I should have thought of that. Let's do that.
They were saying, I don't know if they have time to do two songs live, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to hear both if at all possible.
Yeah. So sometimes we do the green room,
They're artists that can actually pull that off, because you don't need to do any treating of the vocals or anything. They're just great.
Brian, I want to bring up a sort of calendar event on today, actually. It is the anniversary, the 27th anniversary of Out of Time by R.E.M.
That is hard to believe. Wow.
So how old does that make you feel? And then what's your favorite track on that album?
That's a good question. I think I always loved Me and Honey off that album. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, I love Country Feedback. I love the whole album. And I remember when it was coming out, too. This feels like yesterday, but I remember Peter Buck on TV, it was probably MTV at the time, saying how excited he was that it was coming out. And he's not the kind of guy to hype stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I could tell he was genuinely really excited, and he knew they'd done something great. And Michael Stipe said in that same interview, he goes, "This is the best thing we've ever done." And I was like, wow, okay, I can't wait to hear this. And it lived up to it, you know, like you could tell they were excited for a reason. My favorite songs from R.E.M. are kind of spread out across a bunch of different albums, but that's certainly an extremely strong album start to finish, and it obviously broke them to a new level, and deservedly
like,
so.
I feel like every year they have a new anniversary. Like, they're putting out so many albums, like, that with Automatic for the People, right?
Yeah, that was 25th just recently, I think.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, when they had, like, the 30th for Murmur, I remember the first time I ever heard of R.E.M. was when Rolling Stone named Murmur Album of the Year in the Critics Poll. Mm-hmm. And I was like, R.E.M., that's an unusual name. And I went out and got it, and I've been a fan ever since.
This has been so fun to talk about what you guys do and get a little information about how the show works. And I'm looking forward to talking again soon. Before we wrap up, is there any sort of like... just total goosebump moments that, I mean, it seems like you guys have been shoulder to shoulder with some incredible artists. Have you ever, I mean, we've talked about artists that you really expected to be blown away by, but have you ever had any of those moments where you go, oh, this was just, you know, a date on the calendar and suddenly I am losing my mind about this performance?
I think for me recently, most recently, but I was also excited about this, so I knew I'd probably have goosebumps, but we debuted Julian Baker.
Wonderful.
That was just really nice. She just, like, again, is just, it's always, like, when she sings, it brings something out of you, whether it's, you know, like, whether you're astonished or sad or, you know, or happy, because she's, you know, this little thing. And so that was a special moment. I think I was worried about how it was going to be received just for people who didn't know her. Obviously, the indie music scene knows her well, but, like, I was kind of worried about, like, staff and whatnot, but everybody loved it, so that was really great.
Yeah, that blew me away. I really didn't know her music. I'd heard her name, but that was really a revelation to me, hearing her perform, and I could tell even the entire theater was just in her...
Like, you could hear a pin drop. So
yeah, it was
nice.
Really something. Yeah. And over the years, there have been, you know, quite a few, like, I've been working in late night TV for a little over 20 years now, and I've been lucky enough to see people like, you know, Neil Young up close, and just people who still seem so vital and still have that same feeling of intimacy and soulfulness in their music and never seem to lose it. And it was funny, when Neil Young was on Conan many years ago when I worked there, I was dressed as Frankenstein for a bit, and I was too nervous to meet him, but when I came out of the makeup room, I was still dressed as Frankenstein, and he was just coming out of his interview. I just had to briefly say, oh, I just want to thank you for your music. It's meant a lot to me. He goes, thanks, man. That Frankenstein bit was funny, man. And I was like, okay, I can die now. But I was too afraid to meet him early on, and like one of the second producers said, oh, Frankenstein's afraid of fire and Neil Young. So it's the two things. So, but I was, I get so starstruck still by people like that, especially the ones you grow up loving, you know. But I've been turned on to so many new acts through working in TV, and I'm always grateful to people like Kateri for bringing people like Julian Baker in, or I was turned on to the Hold Steady when they played Conan years ago, or Patty Griffin or Alabama Shakes, you know, a lot of these bands I hadn't heard before they played the show I was working on. So that's been a real privilege just to get to see them and discover them.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much, and we'll talk again soon. But this has been Music to Watch with Kateri Palin and Brian Stack. Thank you guys for joining us, and thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk about this.
Thanks for having us, Sean.
Thank
it was
you.
Fun.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.